Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful we can gather together and praise your name, look into your word and see that you teach us things we would never otherwise know. And so we just thank you. I pray you would just encourage each person, open their hearts to receive from the word. I pray you'd anoint me, the Spirit, that I would just be able to speak the words of the Spirit. And we ask you to move in the service and be our teacher. And so we give thanks to you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, turn, if you will, this morning to John chapter 17, verse 1. John 17, verse 1. As you know, we've been working our way through the Gospel of John and seeing the insights the Lord give us in that book and in context. And so let's look here at John 17, chapter 17, verse 1. It says this: when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Now, it really is important to look at the context here. The whole thing is that this is chapter 17, starting off here. But this is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. This is the night before. So, from chapter 13 through this point, the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he's been teaching these chapters, okay? So he's sharing with his disciples. So when there are literally college courses on the information in chapter 13 through 17. And Jesus just said, "Hey, by the way, after dinner, I'd like to share some things with you." I mean, it's like, really? Really, I mean, it is really powerful what he said. So he's sharing with the disciples the night before he goes to the cross. He says, "Okay, guys, I need to tell you some things." So that's what we've been looking at. So it's just fascinating to me. Now, what's also interesting is that now he finishes up. So he's finished it up. And he wraps up the whole evening. Remember, he's going to the cross. He's done. He wraps the whole thing up in a prayer. So chapter 13, 16, he's teaching. And then he says, "Okay, I need to pray. I need to pray." And the entirety of chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer. This is his prayer. The whole chapter 17. Chapter 17, Jesus is praying after this time with the disciples just before he goes to the cross. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus tells us how to pray. Jesus tells us how to pray, Matthew 6, 9. And he starts it off with this: "Our Father who are in heaven." Amen. So he said, this is how you pray. Now, what we have in chapter 17 is Jesus is actually praying. He's not telling them how to. He is praying. Okay? And look how he starts it. He starts the words out. He goes, he says, he looks to heaven, and he says, "Father." So he prays just like he told us to pray. Okay? Say, "Our Father who art in heaven." He looks to heaven and he goes, "Father." And he starts prayer off. So this is what we have. It's interesting here. And this prayer is just full of insights. Okay? It really is just full of insight. Is Jesus praying. And each of us should take time to read it. Each of us should take time to read it. So, wow, this is Jesus praying. We should read what he and the Father, you know, what's going on. What is he's going on when he prays to the Father? Now, so what I want to do this morning is highlight a few points in this prayer, okay? A few points. Not cover the whole thing necessarily, but I want to highlight some points that for us to process. But again, process it in this is the context. He's finishing. He really, he's not only finishing up the evening, he's finishing up his ministry. So this is his prayer to the Father. And so I think we really should pay attention to what he has to say. Now, first of all, I want us to look at verse 3. Okay, verse 3. John 17:3. Look at this. Jesus says to the Father, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Just kind of a personal, you know, interaction with the Father. He's interacting. This is eternal life. This is eternal. That they know, somebody circle that in their Bible or whatever, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. See, Jesus, praying to the Father, rehearses what eternal life actually is. Now he's rehearsing. He said, this is eternal life. And what we have here, eternal life is, now put your thoughts, eternal life, and put what your thoughts are in your mind. Eternal life is, Jesus says, eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ. Eternal life. How many say, here's what you do to have eternal life? Jesus saying, you don't do nothing. You know the true God. You know Jesus. That's eternal life. You don't do. You know. You know. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this would be a good time. Listen, you guys talking to the disciples, you guys need to suck it up, hit the road, expecting a lot out of you. You know, he goes, know that. What you need to know. You know the only true God, and you know Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. You made it. You got there. You got there. You know. So that should definitely should get our attention, right? Because that's what he's saying to us. Eternal life is to know. Now, would you tell all the people what they've told you to get close to God and do this, and this is what you do? No, it's who you know. It's who you know. And you're supposed to know. And when you get know, you have eternal life. And you think, that's what Jesus said. That's what he's wrapping up his ministry. That's what he said. So the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Now, what's interesting, brothers and sisters, when you think about it, when you think about what Jesus just said here, this is a foundational truth. It's a foundational truth that answers most of our religious and theological questions. It answers them right here. Well, we think, and this is about God, and this is about Jesus, and what we should do, and why he does this, and what's going on. And we have, you know, just all sorts of questions. But bottom line, this answers the questions. This answers the question about religion. And this answers the question about theology. About theology. All right? And so, just when you think about this, eternity is wrapped up in God and Jesus Christ. Period. You can't, you know, and we'll work on life and remove Jesus. We'll remove the only truth. No, everything about eternity is wrapped up in God and Jesus. See, you can't get there from here without Jesus and God. So this is what he's saying. So, I mean, if I'm adding this, if this is the truth, we could go, redemption is, salvation is, heaven is, Christianity is, to know the only true God in Jesus Christ. What's redemption? Now, we know about the cross. I don't have to repeat the gospel. Christ died on the cross and stuff. But we ask the question, well, what is redemption? To know God and Jesus Christ. Well, what is salvation? To know God and Jesus Christ. Well, what's heaven going to be like? Know God and Jesus Christ. What's Christianity about? To know God and Jesus Christ. See? You see where we're going? I've talked before about we get into silly arguments. Okay, they're not silly. I mean, they're difficult, profound arguments that we can never win. As believers, we know something. And when we talk to those non-believers that have a different view of the things of the Lord, we'll never win that argument. It's just not going to happen. See, so the point of it is, God is telling us, I'm not even going to help you in that argument. I'm not going to help you. You're asking me to help you. I'm not doing it. Okay? Because the truth is that makes the difference is that they know God and Jesus Christ. That's what you should be sharing. That's what they need to know. That's what makes you different. And once they know God and Jesus Christ, they don't have any questions. See, you see what I'm saying? John, I've shared this a bunch of times, and I always forget the guy's name. It's John Whitcomb. Praise Jesus. I haven't thought about this guy in years. Okay, he's gone. Okay. This is fascinating. Now, this is in connection with this, how this really works. He became a believer, and this is like early 1900s, 20s, something like that. I'm not sure for sure. But it's early. And he went to Princeton. He went to Princeton. He became a believer, and he is in Princeton. Did you know that Princeton was established as a seminary? Princeton was established as a seminary. And I think the guy that's, and this is the truth, the guy that's head of the theological department is, I don't think he even believes in God. I mean, it's just, it's just another, theology or, manner of thought, to compare us to something else. But back then, when John Whitcomb, you can look up John Whitcomb, interesting guy. So he's all excited as a new believer, and he was at Princeton, and they had still some residual old professors that still believed. Okay, so they sent him in, and he had some classes with it. And I actually heard John Whitcomb say this. He passed this on, so this is not even secondhand. And he said he had a friend that was just wild, crazy, and his roommate in the dorm. He said, hey, these guys are partying and just, whatever. And so he had witnessed and witnessed and witnessed. He got no place. Didn't get any place at all. And so, you ladies will be studying Jonah and the big fish. Whale, this that Jonah. Okay. Well, this kid would tell him, say, oh, this is a bunch of nonsense. Christianity is a bunch of nonsense. He said, tell me, Jonah and the whale. He said, yeah, whale didn't swallow somebody up and throw them up. It's impossible. That's stupidity. Just tell me about it. He had argued, and he said he went to the library and looked up whales and that their mouth was big enough they could swallow humans, even a record of somebody that actually got swallowed by a whale and got away. He said he just had all this research. He'd come back and say, that's nonsense. He is so frustrated. So he went back to his old professor, and he says, I'm just at my wit's end. There's nothing I can do to share and have this young man come to know the Lord, and I'm telling him all about it, and he just blows me off. And he said, what's his problem? He's hung up on Jonah and the whale. That's just what he always goes by. And he said, well, he said, I'll come with you, and we'll talk to him together. He said, would you? He said, yeah, okay. So this guy is really excited, and this old professor's coming with him. So they walk up in the dorm room. They open the door. His friend's in there. They're playing poker. They're smoking. They're drinking. And he'd walk in with this professor, And he says, oh my God, it's like rats leaving a sinking ship. He said, these guys were jumping out windows and everything to get out of there. When they saw this old professor walk in, it's like, oh my goodness. And the kid just stayed there, just hit his room. And he said, hey, I brought my professor. He wants to talk to you. This kid, he didn't care. He said, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, talk. You know. And the old professor said, I hear you have some questions about Jonah and the whale. He said, yeah, I just think it's a bunch of nonsense. And the professor said, okay, I understand. Well, there's some things I'd like to share with you about that. But the first thing of what I'd like to do is share something about Christ. Would that be okay if we talk about Jonah and the whale and share things about Christ? He said, go ahead. So this old professor went in and he laid out and talked about Christ, his coming, the cross, the salvation, and went over. The kid had some questions and he answered his questions. He says, do you believe that? The kid says, you know, yeah, I think. He said, how would you like to pray with me right now to receive Christ? He says, I'd like to pray with you right now. And he prayed to receive Christ. And then the old professor says, do you have any questions? What questions do you have about Jonah? He said, I don't have any questions. Did you hear what I said? He said, I don't have any questions. It's not Jonah and the whale, folks. It's not Jonah and the whale. It's Jesus. And when you come to know Jesus, you'll have in questions. yeah, Jesus could pull this off. He wanted to. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, that's a lesson back to where God is saying, this is eternal life. Not Jonah and the whale. It's not eternal life. Okay, it happened, yeah, but that's not eternal life. Eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And then the answers come. Then there's another, I didn't mean to share any of this, but there's another thing. Kid was atheist, and he was in seminary. Why are you atheist? Why would you go to seminary? I mean, why? I don't know. Anyway, he went to seminary, he just out and out didn't believe. And he wrote a paper on the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. This kid got an A+. And they ask, he says, how, you don't even believe this, and you get an A+. How did you write that? He said, they asked me to write what the Apostle Paul believed, not me. You see we fight on the wrong battlefields. We fight on the wrong battlefields, all right? And and that's the reason that Jesus is saying, is he prays for these guys. Okay, the truth is, eternal life is that they know about Jonah and the whale. No. The truth is that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Now everything falls into. Amen? It's huge. I mean, this is really huge as we look at this. Now, also it helps us. And also, here's the reality. And excuse me for here, but on earth, the reality of stuff, okay? I mean, I'm just, me and you, we're into stuff. Name your, give what your prayer would call. I want stuff. You know, pray. What do you want? I want people to be nice to me. We want stuff in relationships and stuff. So we want the reality. We want stuff. And the stuff, the physical and situational, flows out of from knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. See? Stuff's not the issue. There was the kings came before, I think it was Elisha, and they asked him to do something just unbelievable. They said, the prophet, the king says, do this. And he goes, that's a small thing for God. Stuff is a small thing for God. The difficulty is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. See, he says, all right, you get that. We get the stuff. Come. You know, the stuff will come. But this is the first thing we need to know. So this is what he's telling us. Now, And the stuff flows from God and Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. See? I created everything. Yeah, I'm okay with stuff. We can pull the stuff off. Anyway. So you have this picture. So he's showing us a wider picture than most people understand, you know, most believers understand, let alone that those that don't believe. But now, when we think like this, then it explains what Jesus said in verse 10. It's coming up, verse 10. Now, if we understand this, we can see why Jesus said verse 10. I mean, if we read it on our own, we're going, what? But if we're looking at this, no, you got to know the only true God, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. And he says in John 17:10, he's praying. He's telling God, all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Believers, they know you, and they know me. It's eternal life. See? And he's going, we got there. He said, and so this is his final prayer. So Jesus came down. So this is, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them, believers. It's a forever relationship. It's a forever relationship, eternal life. Jesus came down from heaven to bring people to know the only true God, and to bring mankind into the right relation with God. That's why he came. And here's something. And Jesus accomplished his mission. He accomplished it. Okay, verse 4. Verse 4. John 17:4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Accomplished. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished. I'm done deal. Now I've heard people, and I've heard arguments, I've heard people say, preachers say, you know, it says Jesus finished his work, he accomplished it, but you know, there's so much to be done, and you know, so much evil that hadn't been fixed, and people are going hungry, and all this stuff. So, I don't understand why he said, you know, he accomplished it and finished and left so many things undone. Well, no. He came that mankind would know the only true God and Jesus Christ. That's why he came. But I think he ought to come and do this other stuff. I mean, why does he let evil happen? Why does he do this? What? That's not what he came. That's not what he came. All right? He came that we would know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, and would establish mankind in a permanent relationship with him. Mankind would be in the position God always meant him to be. And everyone who trusts him will be in that position, just the way he meant it to be. Meant it to be. And let's go. So he accomplished his mission. He put man in the relationship. He put man in the right relationship. He said, I'm done. I did what I was supposed to do. That's what I was supposed to do. See? And I did that. Only who could do it? Jesus did. So he finished his work. He's talking to us. I'm done. I finished. I accomplished what I did. Because you know God and you know me. It's eternal life. I did it. I did it. Then he says, after completing his work on the cross, Jesus now done. So he goes back to heaven via the cross. But he goes back to heaven. Verse 5 says this, John 17:5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you. Glorify me in your own presence. Okay, so he's talking to the Father. Glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. listen, before the world existed. You mean before God created the world? He knew this. You know, and this is just me. Y'all all know I watch too much television just to be irritated, you know. And they said, well, I don't like the way God said this. I don't know why he would do this. Well, he must not be true because this is happening. Who do you think you are? Who cares what you think? What are you talking about? Because this happened and this was understood before the world existed. I mean, can you imagine? Oh, I wish I could see God and just ask him a question. No. I always reason. I love the scripture when the Sadducees ask him a question. He says, well, tell us, why'd you do this? He goes, well, you don't know scripture and the power of God. That's your problem. See, it's like, and I know that he'd say that to me. So I'm not asking nothing. Because he'd tell me, and I know he'd be true. See, but people do not know power of God in scripture. The big, don't pay attention to scripture. It doesn't make any difference. You don't know the answer because you don't know scripture and the power of God. So you see where this prayer is coming from. I mean, it's like, oh, buddy. Whoa, buddy. See, and I read it. You look at this. Jesus and the Father were together before the world existed. Before it existed. What are we going to add to what he's doing? What are we going to add? You know, you should have created me sooner and I could have helped you out in what you're doing here. If you just, you know, had a little forethought to get me here earlier. To help you. See, I mean, it's insane. It is absolutely insanity. It is insanity. So, in this prayer, you know, Jesus and the Father were together before the world existed. Jesus is done, right? He is done. So what does he do? He's going home. He's going home. He's going the next day. The next day is the cross. He's going home via the cross. Which he knew, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. See? Now, so we see when this started, before the world existed. Now, and two, this all goes back to the very first verse in the Gospel of John, where we understand Jesus and God. It starts coming, and we have this information that is really good on the very first book, very first verse in the Gospel of John. We understand God, Jesus, and a relationship in heaven before the world existed. And there's not an overhead here, but you know it. I'll share it with you. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus, you know what it was? In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. Okay? And doing good. I always think, God, you didn't need all this nonsense. Y'all were doing good. See? In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. Was God. And then later on, then down 14 verses in John 14, we see how God is going to accomplish his task. You go, okay, I got some, accomplish some task. And it says in John 1:14, and the Word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? He became flesh, baby, and dwelt among us. And now, at the point, not before the crucifixion, he's praying for us. Okay? And example, you know, and this was, I want to be back in your presence. Jesus said, I'm going back into your presence that I had before the world existed. The magnitude of this, You know, sometimes we look around and say, oh gosh, we're kind of a minority Christian and oh, where the world's going. And not really. You don't think God can just move one little finger and turn everything upside down? You know, it's kind of good to be with Jesus. Okay, wherever you're staying, I'm here, I'm with you. Okay? Because we know the whole picture. We have the whole picture. Now, here we have what Jesus is saying. He's finishing this up. We have the truth through Jesus. Okay, now we have the truth through Jesus. And he's praying this prayer. Now is fully, and listen to this word, now is fully restored believers. How did we get fully restored on this thing? Trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. We trusted him. We believed him. We know God. We know him. And he takes us into his kingdom. And totally cleansed by his blood. And we know him because we're totally cleansed. All our sins are paid. And we're fully restored. Fully restored. For all eternity. For all eternity. Now, as fully restored believers, we are qualified to experience the glory of Christ. We're qualified. Now, Jesus wants us in heaven to fully experience his glory. He said, I can't wait. I'm going. I can't wait. Earlier on, I think it's in John 14, early on, he said, I'll come back for you. He said, I'll come back. And so, Jesus wants us in heaven. In fact, Jesus came and went through this to know God and to know him so that we could be in heaven with him for all eternity. That's why he did this. That's what he accomplished. That. And those who believe upon him, it's accomplished. It's accomplished. And we should just be tickled pink with that one fact. It's just like, wow, this is good stuff right here. Now, so listen to what he says, and this is the continuous of this prayer, what Jesus says to the Father. Look at John 17, 24. John 17, 24. Father, I desire. Now think about it. He goes, Father, I desire. That they also, whom you have given me, he's telling people, that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me. I desire, Father, that they be with me. With me. Oh, I desire that they be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me. Because you loved me before the foundation of the world. When did this start? It didn't start with our problem. It didn't even start with our mirth. It started before the foundation of the world. For the world. I love what he says to Jeremiah. He goes, Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah because I can relate to Jeremiah's complaining. All right? I just, you know, I'm working on that. All right? And Jeremiah, and I love it where they call Jeremiah to be a prophet. He goes, I don't want to be a prophet. I don't want it. You know, he said, no, you'll do good. You know, no, I don't want it. And he goes, I knew you before you. I knew you while you were in heaven. I knew you before you came to your mother's womb. Okay, now we stepped over. I don't. What in the world? I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Psalms 139, it goes, I knew you in your mother's womb and I knit you together. It's like, wait, we're getting deep here. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like the Lord knows everything. It's like he knows everything, and he knew everything about me, and he still loves me, and he knows all the things I messed up. I mean, he still loves me. It's like, how can that happen? Because Wallace, you know God, and you know Jesus, Yeah, just like you know God and you know Jesus. That's it. It's not what you do. It's who you know. It's not who you know. Now, so just fascinating start here. Now what we need to see here is brothers and sisters, we need to know, and just think about what I just said here, we need to know how we rate before God. Yet, He did this for you. If you were the only person in the world, He would have done it for you. He did it for me. This is what God did. He did it for us. And so, oh my goodness, the whole world's falling apart. I just know how we get out there. We're just never get out of this mess. Well, why not? I knew you before eternity passed. I knew that, and I did this for you. I died for you. I died so that you would know God and you would know me. I died for you. See, it's like we need to know how we rate before God. We are loved by God. We are loved, and not only that, when you read the whole scripture, we are loved, honored, cherished exceedingly beyond our ability to imagine. That's what He thinks of you. What He thinks of you. And, you know, I think, that's what He thinks of me. And I thought, that's just too much. I can't get my arms. I mean, who else would you go to the cross for? You know, I don't really like this guy. I go up there if I have to. No, it's love. You're motivated by love because you want them to be with you. We need to know who we are. This is what God is telling us. You know, we're doing all this stuff to please God. And He goes, stop it. I did this for you to know me. And if you love me, yeah, I love the version of 1 John. It says, we love because He first loved us. Oh, I love because God just filled me with love. No, stop it. You loved because I first loved you. That's what God says. The only reason you have capacity to love me is because I loved you first. See, we need to know who we are, what's going on. Our view of the world is changing. Our situations, you know, in our life change at all because we understand what God is really doing. And it's like, now, and we should, Lord loves me infinitely, and He died for, how can that be? How can God, how can you be so sure of that love for you and for me? You know where the reality is? Here's how we know it. You know what the reality is? You know what the reality? It's real. And here's the reality, and we hang our hat because it's true. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him not perish and have eternal life. His death on the cross proves His love. That's how we know we're infinitely loved. His death on the cross. We have proof. Oh, you don't have it. No, we have proof. He died on the cross. That's proof of this love. Here's the proof. Now, so it's, God is gracious. And now, because He loves us, and we believe it, you know, so, oh, I believe it. No, He loved us. And now we believe it, and He goes, now that you believe it, you can experience the glory of God. Okay? You can experience the glory of God when? Y'all tell me. Goes back to verse 3, just a hint. We experience the glory of God now. When? You remember verse 3? Eternal life. Eternal life. It's those who know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom He sent. You experience it because you know He loves us for it, and we know. You see what He's saying? I mean, it's like, and He's going, what can I get you to do to believe this? Oh, give me a list. You know? No. No, there's no list. It's to know God in Jesus. There's no list. There's no to-do on this. All right, so we're hallelujah here. Everybody going hallelujah. Oh yeah, amen. I mean, how good can this get? How good can this get? This is really good. Now he says something here, and he continues. Not only that, but Jesus also continues to pray for it. Now he's just continuing. I mean, he just warmed up. He's continuing to pray. And listen what he says here. He's talking to the Father. John 17:9. I am praying for them. Son of a God. I mean, he's praying for you. Yeah, he's praying for you. How come he prays for you? Because you know me. Know me. See? John 17:9. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. Should I read that again? Should I read this again? What is this? I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Now remember John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But only those who know, and who believe, you know, can be restored by knowing the only true God in Jesus. He said, okay, I heard it, I believe it. So, I'm not praying for them. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. He's praying for us. Oh, I pray for the world. Have at it. He's praying for us. He's praying for us. Now, Jesus, we say, now just blunt here, we say, Jesus prays for the whole world. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. I'm sorry, he doesn't. I said, well, you shouldn't say that. He said it. He said it. Right? See, that's our problem. He said, you don't know what's going on because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. See, the scriptures. He said it. Jesus, if he doesn't pray for the world, he doesn't pray for the world, but it says he prays for us. He prays for me, and he prays for you. I mean, that's a pretty good prayer team. Yeah. It's like, all right, I can get into that. Now, we rejoice in the love, power, and glory of God. I mean, he's praying for us. But now we kind of get, he kind of tells us this. You need to know this peace. Okay, it doesn't everything, you know, everything's just working out hunky-dory. So he gives us this peace so we'll know what the situation we're in. You know, Jesus knows the hard truth about this life. Look at John 17:14. He says, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Verse 14, I have given them your word. I have given them your word so you will know. I've given them your word so they will know the only truth. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, sometimes, and I've said it before, there's always been religious persecution. But in that thing, the Christians kind of come to the, like cream come to the top. I mean, if there's somebody being persecuted, they'll pick on Christians first, you know. And God bless, I'm not picking away. And Muslims, they don't pick on Muslims, you know, that much. Yeah, they just really, they don't get picked on, you know, like that. Well, why? Because he chose us. So we get picked on. See, I've given them the word. I've given your word. And we all say, hallelujah. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. But look what he adds. Just as I am not of the world. Now, folks, this explains everything. Totally. I am so nice. And they just were so mean. What did I do? You believe the word. That's your problem. You believe the word. And God says, they hated me and they'll hate you. It's like, Jesus doesn't take us out of this world. He gives us an assignment and then asks God to protect us while we are in the world carrying out his mission. That's the reason he prays for us. He prays because he knows full well. When he left, he said, listen, they hated me. They're going to hate you. Well, why do they hate me? Because they hate you. You see, they hated Jesus, so they're going to hate us. With that, it's the truth because there's a truth of God that flies in the face of the truth of the world. Flies into the face. Well, I don't know. You trust. Well, what am I supposed to do? Your assignment is to know me and the one I sent. And you're in this world. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, with me? I mean, he's clearing everything up. You know, this humdinger of a prayer. I'm telling you, Jesus does got this prayer thing down. See, so then we see here in John 17:5, and Jesus says, so he's like, oh, brother. And Jesus 17:15 says, Jesus in John 17:15 says this, God, Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Now, what's going on here? Well, they're just nasty. And there are some nasty. But he goes, no, it's bigger than nasty. You got a whole network working by the evil one, Satan himself, that is against you and the church together. It's a network. And there's evil from the highest powers working against you and the church. And he goes, Father, I mean, that's a lot to ask of these folks. And so, God, I'm just asking you, don't take them out of the world. You know, they're mine and they're yours, but you keep them from the evil one. Because he's here, the evil one. And it's like, some people, now, these are just somebody tell me, my sister, I'll tell you, my sister, I love my sister. She goes, she calls me up, so she knows what's going up here. And she asked me, what are you doing? What are all these people doing up here? You know, she had to remember all the mess with the school board. Well, she lives in Hereford, Texas. All right. She called me up and says, what are they doing up there anyway? I said, well, they're doing. She says, you are a move. You need to come back to Texas. You need to move to Texas. He said, it's too dark up here. You know, and God goes, no, you're where you're supposed to be. If it's dark, you're supposed to be there. What am I supposed to do? Supposed to be here because it is dark. I mean, it just, that's what it says here. Well, guys, you see a lot of evil. I know, I'll protect you from him. Well, where's the confidence come? It's like, oh my goodness. Well, okay, God said he would protect me and you from the evil one. So we can just function okay. Brothers and sisters, the battle line has been set, and Jesus chose us to stand with him. He did that. He chose us to stand with him. And I always look at the disciples. They were a ragtag bunch. The first 12, especially one of them, but the first is a ragtag bunch, you know. A lot of people say, why did he choose such a ragtag bunch to start off to do what he did? And it's like, so I wouldn't be too surprised when he chose me. You see, it's like, wow, okay, you know, I'm not near as mouthy as Peter was. At least, you know, maybe that's, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? It's like you go, oh, okay. He goes, no, I, it's the people. It's me. It's not the people. It's who it's you. And he says, I chose you, and then I'll do what I need to do through you. All right? Just remember, know me. Okay? Know Jesus. And that's eternal life. I got that. Okay? But you see what I'm saying? I really do. I honestly think that's one of the reasons, because the people would take note. I love it when the Sadducees, Pharisees and Sadducees and some of the disciples brought before him and talked, and he said they brought wrong before him, and he said they listened to him talk, and he goes, they were uneducated men, but they'd been with Jesus. See? They were these guys didn't have nothing to offer, but they'd been with Jesus. And it was they couldn't figure it out. All right. And that was the purpose. And so we should be encouraged. You know, be encouraged. It's like, I don't that makes sense, but you've been with Jesus, and there's something different happening because of that. So here we have a thought. Look at John 17:6. He says it again about us. Now he's talking to us. John 17:16. They are not of the world. Okay. They are not. Okay. How did we get that way? Knew the only true God and Jesus Christ. Boom. Now we're not of the world. We're not. Okay. We're not of the world. He goes, just as I am not of the world. You're just like me. Just like me. See, you're not of the world. Just like me. I'm not of the world. Now, for us, okay, so for us on Team Jesus, right? We're on Team Jesus. Amen? We're on Team Jesus. Okay, as on Team Jesus, now he prays for those specifically on Team Jesus, based on what he just said in verse 17. He says this, John 17:17. He basically says, Heavenly Father, I know my team here. Heavenly Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Remember what Jesus said to the Sadducees. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. That's your problem. See, Jesus says, sanctify. These are mine. They're mine. They're yours. I'm glorified in them. Sanctify them. Now, sanctify, it's a word. This is what it means. Set apart. Set apart. It means set them apart. Set them apart. Since the word of God is truth, Jesus asked God to set us apart and reveal his truth to us. Okay, God. Jesus is praying. I'm going, set them apart and reveal your truth to them. Reveal your truth. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. Now, let's summarize everything up pretty quick here. I want us to take note. Take note. Jesus, what Jesus said on the evening before the cross. See, this is what he said. Sanctify them. The word is truth. Sanctify them. Take note that he prayed for us. Going to the cross. He prayed for us. Now, here's the thing that we need to understand, because remember where all this prayer started. It starts in chapter 13. All the way through 16, and I praise all 17, is a prayer. So we need to be excited, because we remember everything from chapter 13 through 16, don't we? Remember it all? Maybe we might have to look at our notes. I mean, he just rattled this off to the guys there, you know. I don't know if this man... I need a pen or something. I need a phone to record this. You know, it's like that. So, I mean, he just rattled this off. But he spoke from chapter 14 through all the way through 16. And he prayed 17. So we need to remember a few things he told us. Because he just told us, we're in this world. Protect them from the evil one. You're not of the world. The world's going to hate you. And you go, oh, my gosh. But we got to remember the things he said. He says, I've given you the Paracletus. That's what he said. That's what he said. Four times he said it. The four times he said it, only used five times. The four times he used in John was from 13 to 16. He said, I gave you the Paracletus, okay? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to do what? Guide you. How do we get through this mess? I'll guide you. the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, will guide you. Is the Holy Spirit important? Jesus thinks it important. I'm leaving. He'll guide you. He'll guide you. And again, we go back to Acts 2. This same guy he was talking to. He said, listen, I'm going to heaven. And listen, don't go any place. Whatever you do, don't go any place until the Holy Spirit comes. All right. You know, because he knew they're like sheep, you know, before wolves. He said, but if you wait for the Holy Spirit, then he'll guide you. Then you'll know and you'll have the power. And God's praying and sanctifies by his telling us his words. See, we don't have to be afraid because the Holy Spirit's guiding us. Also, Jesus promised that we have access to the Father. He hears whatever we ask in the name of Jesus. He hears whatever we ask in the name of Jesus. And he gives us what we ask. Look now at John 16:23. He said, man, we're in this world. How do you function? We've got the Holy Spirit and access to the Father, and he's speaking to us. And then he says this, 16:23, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give you. You got this. You got it. And no issue here. You got it. But you need to know what's going on. I mean, go ahead, you can pray for a bigger house, sports car. I mean, go ahead, throw it out there. But I don't think that's what he had in mind when he said this. I don't think that's what he said. Listen, don't worry about that. You got this. Now, so it does help us. Oh, my goodness, life is just overwhelming me. No, you got this. Step into it. You know, the Lord spoke to me the other day, and he just kept coming back, and so I'm going to repeat it to you. It's David, when he went before Goliath. How many of you are facing a Goliath, you know, of some sort? You're just facing this Goliath. And it struck to me just like he spoke. And David came up to Goliath, and he said he ran towards him. He's telling me, well, you think you run towards it. Don't try it. Run at it. Run towards it. And that's what God is saying. Hey, I can run to the problem. Run to it. When I show you, run to it. See? And that's a lesson that we can, and then we can take. And I go back to what David said to Goliath. He goes, who are you? Who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Who are you? See, we should go to our Goliath and go, who are you? Do you know who you're talking to? You know who you're talking to. See, run to your Goliath. You know, how dare them to defy the army of the living God? And how do we handle it? Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he'll give it to you. See, this is what God thinks of us. This is where he put us. This is where you live, where you live. This is the reason family you have what you have. This is the situation's reason you have them. It's because of this. You're to run to the problem, and God will guide you in how to resolve that problem. You're here for a purpose. You don't run away from it. You run to it. Don't be afraid of it. Run to the problem. It's like, who are you? Who are you? Run to it. Run to it. Now, why do we do that? Because we live in eternal life. What's eternal life? To know the only true God and who Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And if we know that, we have power. If we keep rules, we have no power. Heavenly Father, we just love your word, love your prayer. And God, I'm amazed. You're amazed at you and what you have done. But Lord, I'm really amazed about what you think about us. I'm amazed at what you think about us. And you have so much more for us than what we're living in. You have so much more for us than we're receiving. Lord, I pray, I thank you what you've told us about us and that your love for us and that we were on your mind for all eternity. For all eternity. So, God, we give thanks to you, and I pray, and we embrace the fact that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We are clean, and we are accepted. And we thank you for that. We know you, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.